The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Write this down. Lollapalooza, ACL Fest, Halloween, Bottle Rock, Riot Fest. I cross my heart. We will dive into all of the lineups released over the last few weeks. So check yes or no. If these lineups are for you, for us, we're giving it all we got because we can make Amarillo by morning. This is the What Podcast. Which bands this year that matter? Barry Corder, Brad Steiner, Lord Taco. It starts right now. Welcome to the What Podcast, which bands this year that matter. If you're new to the show, welcome. If you're somebody we've known for years, welcome back. That's Barry Corder, Lord Taco, Brad Steiner. Which bands this year that matter? That is a loaded statement because it feels like we're getting the same bands over and over and over. The lineup season has dropped a pant load of lineups into our lap the last couple of days, and some good, some bad. We're going to do a quick show today, and then next week, as we promised, would be this week. No, next week is going to be part one of two parts, How to Make a Hit. I'm excited about next week, Barry, because we're talking to somebody we've never talked to before in an industry, part of the industry we've never talked to before. Yeah. Artist and repertoire, an A&R guy from Hollywood. His name's Mike Daly. I'm very excited about that chat because we're going to learn a lot about the industry that we've never known before.
It's what we do. Try to go inside. And this one's in, that's going to be inside baseball for sure. Like,
Very inside baseball.
I was stunned last week when you asked what the R is and I didn't know. I mean, I've done this 30 something years. I couldn't even guess.
It's a little bit different than when I asked you what TNA meant.
That I knew.
I know that one.
Kind of like WTF, you know, why the face? We all know it's why the face.
Yes, that's why the fork. Why? Exactly, Dad. You nailed it. Exactly. So let's get into some of this stuff. There's so much to go through because, you know, as you were listening to the Devin Gafilian interview, we put that out. And as that was happening, Lollapalooza dropped their lineup. So it sort of sounded a little strange. All of a sudden, where's the Lollapalooza lineup? And then all of a sudden, beauty of podcasting, right? So the Lollapalooza lineup, let's start there and work through it. What did you think? Your first thoughts, initial impressions?
Foo Fighters, which is on Bonnaroo, and Miley, which is not on Bonnaroo. That's my first.
Okay.
Why? I want Miley.
I know you do.
I've made this very clear.
Well, I will say I don't anticipate an answer, but I have asked what gives. Happened with Miley being on every festival lineup except for Bonnaroo when she was only on Bonnaroo a year ago?
Why does she hate me? I need that answered.
I mean, Taco, do you find this to be strange how much Barry Corder loves Miley Cyrus?
All of a sudden, too. It's new. It's a new thing.
It's a brand new thing. And by the way, did you know that Miley Cyrus is not even her birth name?
Yeah, what did you tell me it was?
It's Destiny Hope.
As a good career decision.
Yeah.
Sort of sounds like a dancer, isn't it?
Unless she was going to get into dance.
Yeah. Table four, Destiny Hope. Table four.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, Barry, did you break up with someone? Is that why you're so in love with Miley now? Or do you have your heart broken?
I don't really know. I just thought it was going to be such a different show.
I mean, Taco, he does look like a Hemsworth, doesn't he? He's very close to being a...
Thought I had a chance.
That's yeah.
He thought he had a chance.
My initial impression about the Lollapalooza lineup, it's the massive girth that... I mean, we all know that Lollapalooza has, you know, more stages than anybody. It always puts out the most product than anybody. But man, in a year like this, I was told that the carryover from the lineup they originally had is damn near 100%. So it's not like they needed to do too much. But man, oh man, it is a... If you ever wonder if there was going to be a cap, oh God, no. There's 150 bands on this lineup. One person in particular not on this lineup, and that was the biggest piece of news, is Kendrick Lamar. I was told explicitly, and not by one, not by two, not by three, every single person I've talked to knew Kendrick Lamar was on the lineup, and something happened on Monday. I have yet to get a clear answer, but Kendrick Lamar was on this lineup, and then magically not 2 days later. What happened? I don't know. But I'm gonna keep asking, because if you look at the lineup a little differently, instead of Foo Fighters, Post Malone, Tyler the Creator, Miley Cyrus, think about it with Kendrick Lamar in front of Foo Fighters, and I think that you probably have a little bit different of a reaction. Now I don't know if they needed him; they sold the damn thing out in 2 hours. Yeah. Losing Kendrick freaked them out, and they were scared shitless. And I'm, again, this didn't come from one person. It was many people that told me there was serious angst that they were, for the first time in years and only the second time maybe in the last decade, that they were not going to sell out in the first hour.
It's an interesting question. I mean, I know what you're saying, but I'm sitting here thinking, this is why you don't release stuff till it's signed in ink. You know, I mean, if you didn't know what you know, would it matter? You know what I mean? Does it help a festival? Does it help? I'm talking in circles inside baseball stuff is what we do. But I mean, how many acts didn't, you know, were almost signed and that kind of thing. So I'm not disputing what you're saying, and I'm not trying to be contrary. It's just kind of a...
No, but you asked an interesting question. Does it even matter?
Doesn't matter, you know?
Maybe not. I mean it matters to nerds like me, but... Yeah, well, that's
right.
Because my bet is he was signed. He lost a lot of money by pulling out. That's just my guess. I have no information about that, but you don't get this far along. You don't get this far along in the process without being somewhat signed. You know, you're not a Kendrick Lamar going to be one or two on the lineup and not have something signed. So somebody lost money along the way. Now, I will say, if we ever got to talk to a booker again, like we did with the AC Entertainment people, I'd like to know how much that's going to cost somebody and how often that really happens. You know, they told us years ago that they had insert major female artist here. And it just sort of fell through. Like, how far along the process were they? How close was it to announce day? And, you know, how did that end up costing anybody any money?
Right. I mean, that's a great point. And also, it could be something sinister. It could be somebody's feelings got hurt, or it could be he got a better offer overseas. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of
perhaps, but you guys, things that my happen. Bet, but my, I mean, I don't know who his management is, but I have to bet that his management has probably five more artists on this lineup. I bet his booking agent has five more artists on this lineup. So, you know, it's not like his people are you know, all so insulated and not talking
right
about other stuff.
Yeah.
Who knows? And you're right. It may not be interesting to anybody else, and it may not even matter. I mean, frankly, it didn't. The damn thing sold out in 2 hours. So, you know, it's not like they needed him. Now, you guys have never been to Lollapalooza.
No.
What do you, as an outsider, feel about it? Think about it. What is your impression of Lolla?
Only what you've told me. It's a city. It's a downtown event, right? It's not a camping event, right?
It's in Grant Park.
You know, what do I think of the lineup, or what is my perception of what it's
If you've never walked into Lollapalooza, what do you think you'd be walking into?
You're going to laugh because to me, it sounds like my nightmare. It's a lot of dealing with downtown traffic to try to get to a show that I really want to see. Wah, wah, wah. I know.
Downtown
right?
traffic. That's why they have public transportation, Barry.
Well, that's not fun for me. I want to be there to see the show. I don't want to worry about the
city transportation. Old country comes to the big city.
That's it. Yep.
So, I want to sleep in my bus, not a city bus. Not again.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you're not.
But, you know, I hope we're going to be there, right? Or if not this year, eventually.
Well, I will. I'll definitely be there. It's not that I love Lala, but.
But you don't even go to the shows, right? You like the you like the industry network.
He goes to get his haircut.
Yeah, I do get good haircut
and eat good Indian food.
I love Chicago. It's my favorite city in the country and outside of the city I live in, but they just do such a great job with the after shows. And, you know, the other thing too is in between the festival and the after shows, I like really expensive restaurants and restaurants end up taking a couple hours. Yeah. So I lose most every headliner I miss. But I do spend most of the day with stuff like, you know, Cautious Clay, which, by the way, if you haven't listened to this Cautious Clay album, he's got an EP, he's got a new song out. I'm absolutely obsessed with it. This Cautious Clay dude is going to just take over, I feel like, in the next year. But, you know, I'll spend my day watching shows like that, and then I'll probably bail somewhere around 6 or 7 o'clock to go to dinner.
All right, so let me ask you, of this 150 acts, mm-hmm. how many will you see?
3.
That's what so kind of gets to my point.
It's not so, but I do this differently. It's not the festival that I go to engage with music. And I'll tell you a couple of just basic problems with Lollapalooza. And they're not knocks on it, believe me. But there are things that, you know, are difficult for me to traverse. First off, the space is massive. If you ever go to Lollapalooza, just be expecting you will walk probably 10 miles a day, and it's almost impossible.
How is what you're saying differently when the different what I said 8 minutes ago?
Well, you complained about traffic. I'm complaining about the size of the
transportation,
space.
Whatever.
Okay, that's
walking,
not what I'm
cabs,
talking about.
Whatever is all part of the issue.
You were worried about traffic getting into the city.
That's one.
Okay.
Then now you're telling me I got to get a Sherpa to carry me across the park. But you go ahead.
Please bring a Sherpa into Grand Park. All right. So to get from the two main stages, they're at the two other ends of the park. So there's one main stage and one on the other. So to get from one to the other is probably a half an hour to 45 minute walk.
Yeah, that's not fun for me.
It takes forever because along the way, you're always eating something. You're always stopping for a beer. You're always stopping to see somebody. And then you see a show along the way. It takes forever to traverse around the space. With all that being said, they also have more stages and they've got, you know, bigger acts and they all seem to be playing all at the same time. So it's a massive, massive operation. You know, the other thing about it is, other than just being a giant space, I don't necessarily, I love Chicago so much that if I'm there, I'm only there for a specific amount of time. I'm always wanting to do other Chicago things. And, you know, Lollapalooza will take up all of my time from the moment go to the end of the night if I don't break myself away. So, you know, with all that being said, I wonder if the regular Lollapalooza fan feels as though it's as rite of a passage as Bonnaroo is or as Coachella. Whereas we look at Bonnaroo and if you haven't spent your weekend on the farm in your early 20s, you've really missed out on a life experience. I wonder if the same can be said about Lolla.
Is it the type of festival like with Bonnaroo? One of the things we always talk about is we all make our lists and then, you know, worry about how we're going to get from A to B to C to D and see it all at once. And you can't. But is this the kind of thing where you pick a stage and stay there all day?
No.
Or do you try to, you still try to hit it all?
Yeah. And I think that, and that's where like you get into some trouble. When you start trying to do everything at Lollapalooza, you're going to wear yourself out really quickly.
Yeah. That's what I'm really getting at. I mean, Bonnaroo, though, like I'm whining, but
although Bonnaroo, you can do the same thing at Bonnaroo and you could say the same things, but the difference is Bonnaroo's a very small footprint when you really think about it. And it's not necessarily difficult to get from one to the other than the human traffic, the human beings that you have to go through and the massive amount of humanity that's standing in your way. Relatively speaking, it's kind of a small footprint compared to Lollapalooza. Lollapalooza, I don't necessarily have problems getting through giant swaths of people because the place is so damn big anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. You know, and then the other thing too is I do like the way they do have two stages inside Lollapalooza that I like a lot that are under the trees, and it does feel like a very intimate space. I'm not kidding. I saw one of the greatest shows I've ever seen in my life at Lollapalooza, and that was the first time I ever saw Jungle. And they were literally in the forest stage. There's a stage, I don't know which one it is, but if you've ever been to Lollapalooza, you know, you walk in there into Grant Park and you can go right or you can go left. It's the one on the city side, that Jungle stage on the city side, not the river side, that I literally saw Jungle. It was the light show around, surrounded by trees, was just a dream. A total
sounds like
dream.
It sounds like it's a bigger forecastle.
I mean,
I loved how being able to get around forecastle was so easy.
Well, take great. Forecastle and multiply it by 20.
Okay,
and it's that massive.
Gives me an idea.
It's absolutely right. Massive. And the other problem too about it's not a problem. Lollapalooza does a really good job about putting competing artists against each other that maximizes putting half of the festival in one side and half on the other. Like, for instance, they're not going to do, Post Malone at the same time as Tyler, the Creator. You know, they know that audience is probably pretty similar. Gotcha. I think the way that the rumors have been, Post Malone is playing at the same time Journey's playing. You know,
makes sense.
They wouldn't necessarily do Foo Fighters and Journey at the same time. So with all that being said, the magic for Lollapalooza is that those after shows and getting into one of them, the one that you really want to get into, that's the magic. And that's where I feel like so many of the things that live in lore about Lollapalooza come from. The 4-hour Foo Fighter set that everybody talks about, that happened after Lollapalooza. That's the one that I was at the Metro. And then the final thing about it is where you would get a Foo Fighter show. This is why I know the Foo Fighter show at Bonnaroo is going to be a million times better than at Lollapalooza, and it's not anybody's fault. Foo Fighters are going to do 3 hours at Bonnaroo. That's just who they are. They don't have anything in them other than 3 hours. Lollapalooza makes your set be an hour 15. Hour and a half tops. There's just no room for a 4-hour, 3-hour, 2.5-hour Foo Fighter show.
I can see that with that.
Because the city makes Grant Park shut down.
Yep. All right. Yeah. I get
so
it.
So there you go. Now, anybody on there that stands out for you on the Lollapalooza lineup?
I've already said. Miley and the Journey thing. You're excited about the Journey thing, aren't you?
You know, I
can't stop this.
I mean, is that what it is?
No,
I don't know one person. Is the band still together?
Yeah, but they have a different singer. Remember?
Yeah, he's the Filipino dude.
Yeah, who the fans like better than Steve Perry?
He sounds more like Steve Perry than Steve Perry did.
That's the craziest thing.
Yeah,
It just doesn't do anything for me. It's very deep. The Lollapalooza lineup is very deep, and I say that because there's just so many on here that I play on my radio station. But let's get
almost
to
Monday. Almost Monday's on there. I mean, I'm looking all the way down to the. I mean, that's the other it's just a note, and I think I mentioned it last show. Drew Holcomb said that apparently the whole no compete clause seems to be out the window, which is why we're seeing a lot of not that Chicago and Bonnaroo are going to compete, but we're going to see a lot of the same bands on lineup.
Well, just remember that, you know, C3, there are just a few companies that do this, right? You've got two companies that do pretty much every festival. One's Live Nation and one's AEG. So AEG runs the Fireflies and it runs the Bukus and it runs the Coachellas. The Live Nations run the Bonnaroos, the Lollapaloozas, and then the ACLs. Under Live Nation, you've got companies that sort of assist that are bought by Live Nation. Bonnaroo, of course, is AC Entertainment, right, where Lollapalooza and ACL break off of the tree of Live Nation is with a company called C3. C3, if you recall, a couple of years ago, had bought some sort of buying stake into Bonnaroo, and that was the year that everybody seems to blame. The bad year of Bonnaroo, 2016, where the lineup was bothersome to some people and didn't get, 60,000 tickets sold?
47.
A lot of people want to blame C3 on that. Internally, they say, you know, they didn't have much to do with the lineup, but C3 absolutely controls everything about Lollapalooza and ACL Fest, which brings me to the strangest point, or at least my point, which is the strangest thing for me. The difference in lineups for Lollapalooza versus ACL, Austin City Limits Festival, although you'll see some carryover, the ACL Fest lineup is so unbelievably good. And the reason I like it so much is exactly why it feels like the Firefly lineup and the Lollapalooza lineup missed the mark for me, because they're so specific. You know, Lollapalooza's got a major electronic stage. It's Perry. Is it Perry stage? Yeah, it's a Perry stage. In fact, we're going to have the lighting director for that stage on the show later in the season. But man, ACL feels like it is in its own world. And I love that about it.
It's different. It's different. Just looking at the headliners, when I saw it earlier, I went back to the conversation we had with Steven and Brian from AC about lanes. I mean, you go from George Strait to Billie Eilish to DaBaby. You know.
I know that would be your Saturday.
Did you think? I mean, I know when you were making your list of who you wanted, those are those three were.
Those are my three.
And Tanya Tucker.
I think that ACL Fest has the most inspired headliners I may have ever seen in a festival. At least in the last 10 years. I love the fact that George Strait is headlining this festival. This is such a
I know you're not a country fan, but do you know how many number?
Like 52
or 53 number ones.
George Strait is incredible, an icon, and he is so it's hit after hit after hit.
52, I think, unless he's had more.
Well, the thing is, it's like this may be the last time you're ever going to see George Strait.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Stevie Nicks is on there too, and so I think one of the points we've tried to make, or couple of points that we've tried to make on this show over the years, is it's about discovery, and it's about seeing the acts that you maybe wouldn't go see otherwise.
Yeah, I'm not going to buy a ticket for George Strait. That's exactly right. I would never buy a George Strait ticket.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And Stevie Nicks doesn't come to my area. You know,
Do you think that George Strait would work on the top line of any festival anywhere else in the country?
That's a great question. Could I see George Strait at Bonnaroo?
You think you could see George Strait at Bonnaroo? He wouldn't be a top line, but he would be a second line, surely.
I'm going to say yes, only because I missed so badly on. I can't even think of his name. The Commodores guy. I missed so badly.
Come on, Barry. Come on,
it's not coming to me. I just thought that was the worst.
Lionel Richie.
I just thought Lionel Richie was the worst pick ever, and people loved it. So that's
You said the same thing about Kenny Rogers too.
Agreed. That's what I'm saying. So I underestimated Lionel Richie, but I also underestimated the Bonnaroo crowd massively. They just want to see good music, and George Strait, he's arguably the best at what he does. So I would think he'd do very well. Yeah.
I mean, I think that, you know, I don't necessarily think the country artists or the country fan was the part of the audience that needed to be tapped.
I don't think that's what it was about. I think
about,
I think it's about appealing to Brad and Barry.
I know, but Taco, do you know a George Strait song?
I don't think I could tell you one. No. I probably, if I, if you played one, I'd be like, yeah, I know that, but I don't know, you know, that it's George Strait.
Yeah, but would you ever go see George Strait at a festival?
If he's there, if I'm already there, maybe.
Really? See, there it is. That's, yeah, that's, I think, the point. That's, would you buy a ticket to go just see George Strait?
No.
But if he was at a festival, if he was at Bonnaroo, you'd go see him. I'd go see him.
Mm-hmm.
And like you just said, I bet I would stand there and know every song, even though I couldn't.
Yeah, I bet I've heard them all. I just couldn't name them or tie them to George Strait.
I guess the reason I like it so much is because the bravery that it took to put George Strait first, that George Strait's never been booked by a major festival before,
okay,
and that I can definitely see somebody take George Strait and take that lane all the way through the festival. It's an inspired choice, and then they did a really good job supporting it around it, because mm-hmm, if you did George Strait and then all of a sudden they feel like they needed to balance the lineup with, you know, by putting Megan Thee Stallion on the headliner list, I think that it would feel cheap. And like George would stick out like a sore thumb, but putting a very iffy headliner on Rufus Du Sol, I love Rufus, but he's up there because I think it's just really, really good poster management. I hate to get really nerdy about this, but George Strait, Stevie Nicks, Rufus Du Sol, that feels so substantial. If it was George Strait, Billie Eilish, Miley Cyrus, DaBaby, and Megan Thee Stallion, you would say, who is the old white guy on this list? You know, it would look so weird. But they did a brilliant job knowing that their guy was George Strait. And I bet you they've been working on that for a decade.
So they got
they did a nice job supporting the George Strait.
It's George, slot. Miley, Tanya,
mm-hmm,
Sleep at the Wheel.
Sleep at the Wheel's a great one.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Look at the other people in the lane, so to speak.
Sure.
I mean, yeah, it's great. I mean, I think you're right on.
The other thing too about the Austin City Limits lineup.
Go ahead.
It's okay. A lot of times you'll see week one, week twos, right? Because it's a 2-weekend festival. And there'll be a handful of bands that will only be there for week one and only be there for week two. And, you know, but if you have six, that's a lot. Oh my God. It's everyone this year. Absolutely everyone. And I could probably come up with an idea as to why that is, but I would just be guessing. I don't know if ACL Fest has ever had this many bands only doing one specific weekend.
I have no idea.
I'm sure we can ask somebody if that was what the cause of that was and what is the specific reason. If I would just be guessing though, the problem that you're going to have maybe for, if again, it's not a problem. They've already sold out. What does it matter? You know, it's, yeah, like back to your point, Barry, is like, who cares?
Yeah.
But I think that if you took the lineup and just made it a week one lineup and then a week two lineup, I wonder if you like it as much.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I haven't given that sort of thing much thought. I mean, when I've seen that it's a week one, week two, and I've seen other festivals, I wonder how that does work as a fan.
It's never bothered me because there's never been that much that I'm missing the next weekend. I do choose which weekend I go based on the week ones and week twos. The year that I went, I chose the week that James Vincent McMorrow was playing just because, I chose, you know, one year I chose just because it was Brittany Howard's week, and Alabama Shakes, but this would be impossible because everyone is choosing one week or the other.
I mean, the first time I ever really thought about it, I think it was Jazz Fest. They had Van Morrison one week and somebody else I really, really wanted to see the other. And I was like, I can't afford 12 days in New Orleans. Yeah.
Well, see,
that'd be a tough pick. So
yeah, the Jazz Fest thing is so hard because, you know, you can buy a ticket for both for every day, but it's going to cost you an arm and a leg, right?
Right.
You know, the big knock on Jazz Fest these days is that there's no cap. They don't stop selling tickets. So there's
yeah, I've heard that and the bottlenecks. Getting from point A to point B can be very, very difficult.
Yeah, and I live in the neighborhood. It'll probably take me an hour to get there. So they don't sell, and the other problem too is they don't stop selling tickets at $35, $40 a day, whereas before you could get in Jazz Fest for $10. You know, you can walk around and for your $10 and then you go have lunch. I mean, that's basically where people just walk in and have lunch because they want a crawfish bread. Speaking of Jazz Fest though, there's no word. I've heard crickets from the Jazz Fest people, and it's mostly because of the trouble that New Orleans has had with reopening. Not really trouble. They're just really slow with reopening everything. Mm. Finally, the other lineup that we probably need to get to is same weekend. Well, I know a lot of people like the Halloween thing. Halloween is one of these situations where I just don't fit the target demographic.
I'm looking at it. It's string cheese, Skrillex.
It's a jam band. It's a jam band thing. Yeah. First off, I don't even know where it is. I still can't figure out where Sewanee is. I still don't know where Live Oak, Florida is. So it's hard for me to even wrap my head around getting there. Secondly, I've never found a band on there that would make me want to drive. It is so lineup dependent for me when it comes to Halloween. But people, if there's a festival that equals Bonnaroo in just the way people's emotions are tied to it, it's got to be Halloween.
Are you looking at the lineup, Taco? You see Turquoise is on there.
I see Turquoise doing the
second time. But yep. Cautious Clay's on there too. That is an interesting lineup. And I don't know where Sewanee. I know it's in the. I don't think it's near water unless it's a lake. So I don't know. That's interesting.
It's just not for me.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I just don't do jam bands, and you know, I don't need a night of String Cheese Incident, much less three of them.
Yeah,
I mean, it's Halloween weekend. I'm guessing there's lots of costumes and it's probably pretty crazy and fun. So
no, that's what I'm saying. The people that go though love it.
That's probably why. I can see that.
I mean, I've got a buddy of mine. If it wasn't for Bonnaroo, the only festival he would go to is Halloween, because the scene there is as infectious as the farm is in Manchester. So
I can believe that.
I just don't know. I just don't know. I've got it in me. We talk about a camping festival, Barry, though. There, you know, you're there.
What else are you going to do?
And then I'm sold. You're sold. I know. And then the final one is actually one that I'm trying to get the guys who started it on the show with us, Bottle Rock. Just in passing, when I hear there's going to be a music festival in Napa, my wallet starts throbbing. I just can't imagine how expensive this would be. How expensive it would be to spend a weekend in Napa.
Yeah. I'm betting you're not going to find a $35 Airbnb.
Are you talking about Napa, the auto parts store?
No. That'd be Napa Valley.
Yeah. I'm betting the Airbnbs in the hostels.
But look at that lineup.
That's pretty darn good.
That is really, really strong. Why has Stevie Nicks never played Bonnaroo? Why did you say earlier Stevie's just never coming to me? Does she not play the Southeast?
I don't know. I don't know. It seems like she came to the area some years ago, but not much. I mean, even Atlanta that I know of, maybe Nashville. Guns N' Roses, that's a weird one.
Not really. I mean, Guns N' Roses played, was it Lala a few years ago? No, it wasn't Lollapalooza. It was Governor's Ball or something. And it was, is it Coachella? I don't really remember, but they pop up every now and then. The one that I like the most from Bottle Rock is, and I know why he did it, but James Murphy doing a DJ set. Murphy from LCD Sound System doing a DJ set at Bottle Rock, but you know why? Do you want to guess why he's doing it there and not, say, I don't know, any other festival in the country?
I have no idea.
The man loves wine. He even owns a winery. So,
to your point, yeah, you better bring the wallet.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, wow. Back to your Lollapalooza point, you're not going to go to Napa and not take in Napa. Right. So that becomes a.
But there's another name on that lineup. I want you to try and find that.
Phineas. That I know you're excited about Phineas.
No. There's a certain artist on that lineup that is specifically booked just for those people in Napa, just for the locals. Try and figure out who it is. Just for that, 55-year-old woman who loves drinking wine in the middle of the day. Do you see it?
Not yet. I'm looking at Mavis.
That would be the Village People.
Oh, man. There they are. Yep.
What an odd, if you picked this lineup out of thin air, right, and you didn't know where it was going to be in the country, you would look at that and make, who in the hell booked the Village People?
Oh, yeah, there they are.
As soon as you said it, I just pictured, the woman with the glass of wine held over her head doing YMCA.
You know who it is.
Doing YMCA with
probably
two glasses of wine because she didn't want to have to go back to the,
By the way, vendor. She's also the one that you're hanging out with the Turquoise show. You know that, right?
Fair enough. Actually, it's her husband who dragged her there.
I just can't imagine that woman going from Turquoise to Village People and then walking by Big Frida.
That's funny.
Yeah. I it's really good. And unfortunately, it's the same weekend as Bonnaroo, so we'll never make it. But I really want to.
Monday.
I want to talk to the guy. So I know I have a friend of a friend that knows the guys that started Bottle Rock. And I'll tell you, it does fascinate me to think about somebody who literally just whipped up a music festival. I know we've talked to Ashley about it in the past, but
Drew Holcomb, that was fun talking to him about starting his festival. So
yeah, and but these guys were not in the same realm.
Right.
They weren't musicians that just had a bunch of buddies come over and start playing. They had, they were more in the Ashley. In the Ashley world, Ashley though had made so much hay of, booking things in Knoxville, people just sort of trusted them. I don't know how this Bottle Rock thing started, but I know it didn't. 5 years ago, they weren't booking Guns N' Roses. I think their headliner was Jason Mraz. So something happened in the last 5 years that has turned this thing way, way up. I just don't know what it is. Maybe it's all that Napa money. Maybe it's
They've had Mumford in the past. They've had Neil Young, right? Mm. Okay.
Have they really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. One other question I had about ACL Fest. And I got this from a friend of mine who wasn't nearly as impressed with the lineup as I was. So if not George Strait, the one that I love the most as a headliner is Erykah Badu. And by the way, side note, for the people that scream about, females not being headliners at festivals, well, ACL has three of them. Four of them. They have four female headliners. That's unheard of. Absolutely unheard of. But the one that I'm excited about is Erykah Badu. This is the text message that I got from a friend of mine. Is Erykah Badu really a headliner? Barry, answer that question.
Probably not.
Really?
I would say she is.
Okay, who's the headliner when I say Erykah Badu or Megan Thee Stallion?
Oh, Erykah.
Really?
For me.
Okay, good. Because I think so too. I think Erykah Badu is a queen. I mean, I know she's not Beyonce, but it goes Beyonce, Lauryn Hill, Erykah Badu.
That's an interesting, I get what you're saying. It's an interesting, but you think about those lineups a lot more than I do. And I say that because I break it down that it's so subjective. I mean, there's numbers that can support a lot of things, but there's also personal perception. You know what I mean? Like, is it my favorite? I'm not talking about Erykah specifically, but you know, is it somebody that I really want to see? Then it's higher than maybe somebody who's got a lot of chart numbers type of thing.
So, yeah, but I don't think I rank them that way. I think I rank them by how much money they're getting paid.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I think that George Strait probably cost him $2 million. I think that George Strait is that expensive.
Maybe more.
You may be right. I'd love to find
McCartney
out his number.
Wasn't McCartney closer to 4? Wasn't that the number
I thought that Taco rewind and tell me what those guys at AC told us that McCartney cost him. I thought it was like a buck and a half.
No, I think it was.
It was more than that.
Yeah. And worth it. But again, George Strait, 52 number ones, you know, the non-country fan would have no idea. I mean, that's rarefied air, that many number ones.
But okay, fast forward 10 years and we're doing ACL Fest 2031. Do you think Garth Brooks could do that?
That's a good
because
question.
Garth is up there with as many number one. I mean, he does have 52.
He didn't have that. Nobody does.
He's got a lot of number ones.
I think the next closest is like 30 something. Garth doesn't have near that many, I don't believe.
You don't think so?
I don't think
so. But do you think that in when he gets to senior status and he becomes the elder statesman of country music, do you think that Garth could, you know, find his way on a Bottaroo or an ACL Fest lineup like John Prine or really?
It's a good question. And that kind of gets what I mean is that, you know, he's so big that he probably could because his fan base is so massive that it will still be huge.
Stay tuned to the What Podcast season 14 when we find out.
I mean, maybe I'm not trying to like make a prediction here, but what if George Strait being added to the top line, the first spot of ACL Fest, starts to change the narrative as to putting country artists up top instead of hip hop artists?
Well, there you go. That's your question. It's sort of like the female, you know, headliner thing. There aren't as many as one might think. You know, you can say you need a country artist. You could say you need a female artist, but
it better be the right one.
Better be the right one.
Okay.
And you start out of numbers at some point.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to give you a fake lineup. Okay. Headliner is Foo Fighters, Billie Eilish, Alan Jackson.
It probably does, but that's my point for me. I see it. It makes sense. I get your. I can argue your point,
especially like in Tennessee or Texas.
Yeah, and I would be more interested in George Strait than Alan Jackson.
I would too. But could you be seeing the tide shift a little bit with some of these regional festivals saying, you know what, we're going to find something that makes a lot more sense for this space. I mean, look, George Strait is a completely out of left field booking.
I agree.
Nobody, there's not a human being alive that would have put money on saying, you know what, I think George Strait might headline a festival this year. Nobody.
I agree. I totally agree. But I think it gets to that point. I mean, to me, he's not Dolly, but it's in that same realm of the Bonnaroo fans want Dolly so badly. And she's country. I mean, there's no question she's country,
right? Dolly is a bigger pull than George Strait.
Because she transcends
so
many other things.
All the other formats, right.
But my point is, as we've learned, music fans are music fans. The festivals try to stay in their lanes, which makes sense. They're not going to do too crazy, but the Bonnaroo fan, as we've learned with my point with Lionel Richie, they just want good music. I was wrong on that one. I can't say it how many different ways. That what I learned from that lesson was the fans know those songs just like they know Tame Impala or My Morning Jacket. You wouldn't necessarily think that a Tame Impala or a
Mountain Mouse
or whatever fan would also go see.
I know, but my thought is this: at some point, Bonnaroo was putting out lineup and then another lineup, and then finally, they slid an EDM artist into the top line. Mm-hmm. They broke that seal, and now they can't unbreak it. I wonder if right. ACL has now broken the seal on doing a major classic country artist, and now they're never going back. Do you think that you see a Shania Twain in that spot or a Reba McEntire?
All right, I see what you're saying. To me, it's two different questions. Yeah, I think they definitely broke the seal. Does it portend something crazy? I don't necessarily think so. And I'll use the other stage as an example. You know, they did the whole EDM so much so that they blew up that stage. Well, they're kind of now, we think, with the doing away of a Calliope and just focusing on, there's not as many EDM bands as there were even 2 years ago. They can change.
I'm never going to say that Bonner is going to add a country stage. That's just not going to happen. But I wouldn't say never
to anything.
With a Brandi Carlile 3 years ago, with a Maren Morris, with a Kelsey Ballerini,
right.
They have made overtures to young country. Yeah. It's on the heels of CMA weekend usually. I think those two specifically.
I mean, they're country, but again, that's a great example. I think they're just good. And I think Bonnaroo would make that argument that they book Brandi and Maren not because they're necessarily an inroad to country. They book them because they're good.
I understand.
And I would argue Austin City Limits probably can make that same argument with George Strait.
I get that.
But I get what you're saying. And you know, doesn't a trend make, so we'll have to kind of see.
That's right. I'm just so blown away. And this is why I love this George Strait thing so much.
It's a great pick.
There was never, if you would have laid out 500 country artists, every single one, if you asked, what would be the first artist on here to be headlining a major, you know, indie rock festival?
Yeah.
We'd all pick Dolly. Every one of us.
For sure.
100 out of 100, Dolly. And then maybe you get a straggler of like Carrie Underwood or Garth Brooks. But man, oh man, George Strait out of nowhere. look, I haven't talked about this very much, but I have such an affinity for George Strait. In 80s country, when I grew up, we listened to so much country music when I was a kid. And it was constantly George Strait. And even the stuff that I grew up on in George Strait, the George Strait fans were like, this new stuff sucks, you know? And I still look back on everything that he's had. And the other thing, too, about George Strait is, like, this dude was having number one hits when he was Billie Eilish's age, you know? When he was 19, this guy was just still the smoothest cat in the world at 19, and still is.
He's one of the few that manages to straddle old and new. I was not an 80s country fan at all. But I liked what he did because he sounded like the guys I like.
You're not a Joe Diffie fan?
No.
Oh, R.I.P.
I can't think of too many new ones that I, you know, there's some that I respect. But not listen to. I'm a Merle and George and Conway and all that kind of, and Dolly fan. And George, to me, manages to straddle old and new worlds.
I hate this become a George Strait episode, but he is like the last one of that guard that's left.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Dolly's in a class all by herself, but I'm trying to think of another 60s and 70s era country artist that's still around. I think George is really the only one we got left.
Oh, he wouldn't be 60s, would he? He didn't go back that far.
No, but he still represents that era.
Foot, yeah, and straddles it. Yeah.
Right. To your point. Yeah.
Wow, I can't think of too many now.
Yeah, I don't either.
So it's a bold pick. I mean, you nailed it. You're right on it. It's to see DaBaby on the same lineup as George Strait, I did, you know, saw that coming.
I mean, now that I'm thinking about it, Barry, that could very easily next year be Tim McGraw.
Maybe. Well, and that's what I mean. That we'll have to see. I don't know. I
there's a lot more. There's a lot more of those monster country artists that we totally take for granted that don't get any sort of recognition.
I'm thinking of it from the point of view of, like we've said, what's in everybody's playlist? You know, who are the artists? We all have Talking Heads next to Dolly type of thing. Maybe not those two specifically, but we all cross genres. So, I mean, I'd have to defer to somebody else in their country picks. I mean, I know the names and I know the numbers, but as far as like who,
I mean,
like I'm out of Tim McGraw again. If I'm going to ACL, I'm going to go see George Strait, even though I'm not a fan. I'm going to go see him. Who are the other country artists that I would go see?
Garth Brooks.
I'd have to think about. I've seen Garth. I would go because it's a good show.
I mean,
he puts on a terrific show.
I mean, if I really wanted to get brave, I would almost put money that they're going to make an overture or try to book something like a Garth Brooks.
Yeah.
Next year.
Because he's massive. He sold out what, Knoxville 5 nights or something crazy. Shania's a good fun show.
Yeah. Although, yeah. Now with all that being said, the other thing that about ACL that I was going to mention is, I was lucky enough to be, one of the first guys in the country to play Black Pumas. And my alternative station has led the way for the rest of the country for the Black Pumas. And I don't only say that because I got lucky. These guys are absolutely amazing. They're unbelievable. They're amazing human beings. Their story is phenomenal. And apparently they've gotten a key to the city. Well, I don't think I'm supposed to say that. They're going to get a key to the city. I'm going to go see them in Austin.
Guys.
Yeah. Whoopsies.
Act surprised.
So when you hear this, I will be in Austin seeing them at Stubbs. And then on Sunday, it turns out they're going to get a key to the city from Matthew McConaughey. These guys are taking over Austin. I mean, in a short 2 years time, they've taken over Austin. That Black Puma show at ACL Fest is going to be massive. Absolutely massive. I think from when you go through the line, by the way, that question that we asked 2 weeks ago is, or even last week, that will Firefly sell out? Firefly sold out today. As you hear this, it's currently sold out, at least, you know, most of the tiers. Festival after festival after festival is selling out. Every single festival is doing well. There's definitely an appetite and nobody is struggling. With all that being said, if I had to pick the one that I like the most outside of Bonnaroo, ACL's is probably the top of my list.
Okay. Question for you, completely random, but somewhat related. What are you hearing about the fact that all these are selling out and all in a lot of the similar bands? What is that doing to venue shows?
No, I mean, it's a great question. I think it's to be determined. Okay. I know that I
haven't heard anything yet.
Locally, let's put it this way. Locally, there are shows that are selling out. And then there are other shows that are struggling. I hate to be generic like that, but for instance, the My Morning Jacket show in New Orleans sold out in a day. Loop Daddy, he sold out in 2 hours. Whereas you've got other shows that are not as lucky. I think that you get us through the summer and you get towards, I think these, the, you know what it's going to be, if I had to bet, these theater shows are going to be the day of. Week of sort of things. You know, I got a buddy of mine that runs a venue here and he's looking at shows that are just not moving yet. And, you know, there's really no reason for them to move. What is the impetus to sell a ticket for a theater show that's happening in 4 months? There's just so much people's bandwidth is used up. They've got a 15 other, you know, possible shows to think about before they even get to,
yeah,
these local theater shows. And my bet is they'll make that decision the week of. So you look in the fall, let's see how they do in the fall.
Yeah. And as a fan, why would I buy a ticket now when I could see them at two or three festivals? So that's the point of the question.
Yeah. Speaking of Bonnaroo selling out, you could still go because we have tickets to give away.
What?
Man, that's right. That was like a professional radio segue. It's like I've taught you guys something here.
I'm learning.
Terrific. Yeah, Bonnaroo tickets. We have two tickets to give away with a camping pass to the sold-out Bonnaroo. And it's very simple to enter. And we've got a ton of entries already. Just a hashtag the What Podcast on Twitter, on Instagram. Share us a photo. Tag us in your photo. And, you know, we'll find somebody that's tagged us in one of these things along the way to give away tickets to.
Yeah, it's easy. It's easy to enter. We've gotten some great entries so far. Great stories, great pictures.
We should read some of them. Do we have any ready to go, or we want to do that next week?
I guess we'll do that next week because I don't have any prepared.
Okay. Oh.
That's a good idea.
We need to get on this. We should do show meetings.
Planning? Wait, what?
Actually planning.
There's got to be planning?
Yeah.
Next, you're going to want math or something.
Anything else we need to get to before we turn it over to part one of two parts for our How to Make a Hit series starring Mike Daly from Hollywood Records. Anything else to get to?
Barry, you want to talk about this weekend?
Oh, I guess we're going to do Taco and I are going to be where? Winchester for a little
Winchester, Tennessee for a mini Bonnaroo. Private
some of the Rubus folks and Fitness. And Chloe's gonna be there.
Yeah,
some of our
friends will be there.
Tell them I said hello. And I hope that many times you spin the What Podcast theme song Aquarius over and over and over at that part.
We'll have it playing.
Be heard. Yeah. I think it's cool because it just confirms what we've been saying for 4 years that this little festival has created a whole community that's pretty amazing. So,
yeah.
Yep. Taco will be in the bus. I haven't figured out how I'm traveling yet.
Why don't you sleep in the bus with Taco?
You'll probably end up in the bus. You know, you'll end up there.
I thought Devin and Taco were already had that spooning thing worked out.
Well,
that's in September.
I don't want to be in the middle of.
I mean, Barry, I'll be honest with you. You do look sort of similar to some of the women that Taco's brought in that bus. So
I will say this. I'm cuddly, but I also probably.
Could you dye your hair blue, Barry?
You are in trouble, Barry, if that hair turns blue. All right. Anything else?
He starts looking at me funny. I'll know what he's thinking. He does.
His leg starts twitching, starts to sweat.
Picturing me in a blue wig.
Speaking of, I got new axles to put in.
Oh, man, if only somebody could Photoshop Barry with a blue wig. I think that we have a match
don't
made
do
in
it.
Heaven.
Don't do it.
I bet somebody will by next week.
Hashtag the What Podcast with Barry in a blue wig.
Hashtag Blueberry.
Next week, part one of How to Make a Hit, our star Mike Daly from Hollywood Records, an A&R guy who's going to walk us through what A&R is and how he finds artists, how he develops them. Very excited about that. From the Consequence of Sound Podcast Network. Because this is a Consequence Podcast Network, isn't it?
Yeah, they dropped the upsetting.
It's not upsetting.
You know what? I just want to be Brad. Can I just drop my last name and just be Brad exclamation?
Yeah, just Brad. Okay. One name, Brad.
Bear? Could you just be Bear?
That's what I was growing up.
Oh, that's Bear? So sad. Bear. That's Lord Taco. That's Barry Quarter. I'm Brad. We'll talk to you next week. Love you. Bye.
Consequence Podcast Network.